Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for attending Gateway Church this morning, and thank you to those good people that tune in each week to the podcast of this message on our website. I'm very excited about our new series. It's entitled Thrive, Spirit-Infused Power for Everyday Life, and today's message is entitled Wind and Fire. In the last couple of weeks of Sunday messages have been incredible. The worship has been awesome, and I'm so much enjoying this series. Holy Spirit is my best friend, Linda's best friend as well. I have quite a few friends that would also say Holy Spirit is their best friend. And in order to get to know him better, we have been asking simple questions like, who is he? What is he like? What does he do? And these are basic questions that we would naturally ask of any person who we would be friends with. And as we've discovered, he is our helper and our friend, but he's also empowered the early Christians on the day of Pentecost, and he continues to empower Christians to today. And this is very, very exciting for us. How many of you are familiar with the day of Pentecost here this morning? How many of you know what it means when we say that we are Pentecostal? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of definitions. The word Pentecostal carries different meanings for different people. Pentecostal has both been a cultural definition and also a biblical one, and the two definitions are quite different from each other. So let's first look at the cultural one. Let's look at this cultural definition. In the early days, and to a much lesser degree today, the term Pentecostal describes a person from a very religious tradition where possibly women weren't allowed to wear pants or makeup or cut their hair. And of course, this was before my time, but I have seen pictures of beehives as hairs, as they're always pinned up. And there are many other rigid practices concerning dress and hairstyles and many other things that became very legalistic in some ways. And they had nothing or little to do with the Holy Spirit's work within the ministry of God's people. And this is not what it means to be Pentecostal. So let's look at the biblical definition for a second. And the biblical definition of Pentecostal means someone who understands and appreciates the historic fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost as described in Acts chapter 2. And the term describes someone who understands the fruits and the gifts and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and believes that they are all available for us today. But if we want to truly understand the term, we need to develop an understanding of Pentecost, the event, the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost holds such significance for us as a fellowship, as a local church, as individual believers. So let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They refers to 120 core followers of Jesus, including the 12 disciples. This sentence reveals a time, a location, and an attitude. The time is the Jewish Feast of Pentecost. The location described as in one place refers to the upper room in Jerusalem. And the attitude of those gathered was they were all together or with one accord, meaning they were in unity of heart and mind. And suddenly they all heard a tremendous voice that sounded like the blowing of a violent wind. In fact, the sound was so loud that people throughout the city heard it. And after hearing something that they had never heard or seen before, they had never seen it, these people found themselves with power to do something that they had never done before. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave and enabled them. What an event that was. Oh my goodness, what an event that was. So why did these events happen on this particular day, the Jewish Feast of Pentecost? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because we're going to take a little bit of a teaching moment here, and we're going to look at the history of Pentecost. And Pentecost is one of the three major feasts in the nation of Israel, and God himself instituted these events through Moses. And the holy Jewish calendar contains a total of seven such feasts, but all of these seven fall within three major multi-day holidays occurring with the first, the third, and the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. And these three holidays are the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And until the Roman armies destroyed Jerusalem temple in AD 70, Jews throughout the Roman world traveled to Jerusalem three times a year to sacrifice and celebrate the feast. And at the Passover feast, they commemorated the events centuries earlier in Egypt, when the angel of death passed over the children of Israel on the night before the great deliverance from bondage. And on that night, they were saved by placing the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. And this event foreshadowed the coming day when all humanity would be offered deliverance from slavery to sin and eternal death through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And all of us should say amen to that. And the Feast of Pentecost was always celebrated on the 50th day after the Passover festival. And this feast commemorated God's giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai 50 days after the exodus from Egypt. And as we know, the number seven appears multiple times through Scripture. It symbolizes completion, full maturity, or perfection. And God ordained the Feast of Pentecost to occur 7 weeks after Passover plus one day, because a week is comprised of 7 days. Pentecost comes after seven times 7 days, a perfect period of time. How appropriate it is for us. For as you know, and what you're about to see, God ultimately used a divinely ordained Pentecost festival to usher in the person who would make it possible for every believer to become mature and complete. So what happened at Pentecost anyways? Well, first century Jerusalem was always busy and a crowded place. And two different invasions happened in the history of Israel and Judah, the first by the Assyrians in 722 BC and the second by the Babylonians in 586 BC, had scattered Jewish people all over the known world. And by the time Jesus had come on the scene, more Jews actually lived outside the Roman province than had been in Israel for many, many, many years. Never was Jerusalem more packed with people from a more diverse range of nations than during the 8-week period leading up to Passover and running through to Pentecost. This is the setting for the events of Pentecost Sunday. And we read, a sound of a hurricane filled the room, and visible manifestation of the tongue of fire rested on 120 individuals present, and they resulted in all of them speaking in other tongues. But what happened next? They were all amazed, and they were perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this be? What could this mean?" And others mockingly said, "No, these people, they're just full of wine." And two miracles seemed to be at work on that day, that first day. First, 120 people suddenly begin to speak in various heavenly languages they had never known before. Secondly, thousands of people hear these individuals speaking in their own native tongue. Is it any wonder that they were all amazed and perplexed? What a great, great story. What a great, great prophetic word this is. Think about how unifying this event must have been. They came from different cultures, backgrounds, nations, languages, all which are separated and isolated them from one another. Yet suddenly they came together and shared the same experience, the same wonderful message as one. This unity, made possible by the Holy Spirit, enabled the first Christians to become building to first Christians to begin building something of eternal significance on the day of Pentecost, listen carefully, God came down and removed language as a barrier from knowing him. So the important question is for all of us this morning is, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? For the first time since the fall of man in the garden, the coming of the indwelling Holy Spirit empowered people to walk righteously on this earth. And we know that Jesus came to make us righteous positionally. Because of the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, we stand before the Father in heaven and we are seen as righteous positionally. In other words, his death and resurrection put us in a right standing with God. But we often miss the fact that the Holy Spirit empowers us to live a way consistent with our righteous position in Christ. And so we need to be friends with the Holy Spirit. We need this helper, the Holy Spirit. When the law was given to Israel through Moses, no one could keep it. It gave the Israelites an understanding of what pleased God, but it couldn't give them the internal ability to live it. However, when the Holy Spirit fills a person's life, amazing things happen. The Holy Spirit writes a new law upon the heart of that believer. The law is the law of love. The law of love. In fact, listen to this. Jesus said the entire teaching of the law and the prophets could be summed up with this: God, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And when the person receives the full release of the Holy Spirit, they receive the empowerment to walk in love. In other words, you can't walk righteously without the power of the Holy Spirit. So my goodness, do we need the Holy Spirit? Each of us, we desperately need this empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changes everything. How many of you could testify to that this morning? It changes everything. Changed my life completely. Changed Linda's life completely. Changed my father's life completely. Endless people we know just changed their life completely. For the 12 disciples of Jesus and the other 108 that were gathered in the room on the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit changed everything. Before that day, they struggled. They struggled to understand the scriptures. Afterward, they realized that the entire Old Testament pointed prophetically and symbolically to the life and redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Before that day, the disciples were timid. How many of you this morning here have been timid in your life? They were also afraid. How many of you this morning have been afraid? They hid in locked rooms, dreading the knock on the door. They no longer feared the disapproval of man because of the Holy Spirit infilling them. The transformation brought by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was nothing short of astonishing. And this brings us to the miracle of Pentecost Sunday. Next logical questions: can we experience this still today? Can we still experience this today? And if so, how? If so, how? And that's what we will be looking at, the answer to that, in the weeks to come. So I bless you. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Be a blessing. Love one another. Speak blessings into each other's families, into each other. And we just, God bless you. And I'll just close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this Thanksgiving Sunday. We thank you for the message. We thank you for this series. We just thank you, Lord. You are so awesome. We love you with all our heart. And I pray, Lord, that each time when we gather in this house, that we will do everything to an audience of one, you being that audience of one, and that you will be honored and you will be respected and you will be glorified in this house by this people. And Father, I ask now that you would pour a blessing upon each one as they go their separate ways. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.